This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Hello there. Welcome to the show. Welcome to One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health. Welcome to Orchard Park. A little snowy today. You can see snow on the ground inside the stadium. We're right next door in
kind
the
Epworth sunny,
Sports
though.
Training Center. Yeah, it's not a bad day. I mean, and on some level,
the bar is low at this time of year, though. I mean, come
well,
on.
Here's the thing. You have to put yourself now in the mindset of it's March, so any day now it can start to clear up. We can start to see the end. Can we talk about the end of winter yet on March 4th?
No.
I hope we can. No.
Next week, when the clocks change next weekend, we'll start.
The clocks change next weekend?
Yep.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they jump forward next weekend. So then we can start seeing, for the light. Because then when you're, it's like, now it's 8 o'clock, and next weekend it'll be like 9 o'clock, so we're getting up earlier.
Yeah.
And it's light after the clocks change when you get up, you know what I mean?
When you wake
up in the morning and it's already daylight, then you can start seeing the end of it.
7 today, there was considerable sunshine.
Yeah, it is. It's you can feel it now, finally.
I hope so.
It was dark for a long time.
Hey, we're back in Orchard Park. We were in Indianapolis all last weekend. Steve and I, our producer Jay Harris, our entire crew for the NFL Scouting Combine. And we're back now. I think it's time for us to reassert control of the One Buffalo studio. You know, I've been gone too much. I added it up. So I told you, 30-day time span, I had like 15 hotel nights between Senior Bowl, a Super Bowl, Combine, trip to Michigan, a couple other things. That's too much. I don't want to sleep in a hotel bed. I want to sleep at home. And I sound like I'm whining here because I am. It's good to be home. And it's good to be back in our studio. We have to reassert control. We have to reestablish the parameters of what we got here in the One Buffalo studio. And, yes, I'm talking to you, instigators. This is our home. This is our home. This is our house. And it's good that they're not here today.
Yeah. Don't think if they're, you know, they're neck deep in their season. Remember what it was like when we were neck deep in ours?
I do. It was fun.
It is fun. Anyway, I'm with you. And welcome to my world, by the way, living out of hotel rooms.
Yeah.
But I wasn't here at all last week.
That's right.
Because Monday, with the instigators, had a five-hour show because of the trade deadline.
Yep.
Tuesday, I took a day, and it was on the schedule for a long time. I was doing some other stuff.
Defensive about that. It was on the schedule. I took that off. Yeah.
It wasn't like I woke up sick, right? So I wasn't here Tuesday. And then Wednesday, we were in Indianapolis. And I actually showed up here Tuesday afternoon. We took the long drive down to Indianapolis, and then took the long drive back on Friday night, which wasn't as long coming home as it was going down. I thought maybe it's because Brownie wasn't in the car. I mean, it seemed quicker. I don't know. I have to ask him about that.
The ride home, so it's 7.5. Right? I was wrong. A week ago, somebody said, "How long a drive?" And I said, "I think we can do it in 6.5." No, it's 7.5. You can't.
We
do it
pushed today. It hard too.
We did
because we were one gas stop, a food stop, a bathroom stop, and we combined them when we could.
I was the ride home was long. Steve enjoyed watching the Sabres in the back seat on his MSG Go app.
Let me just tell you
something.
Victory
over the who'd they beat? Pittsburgh. Yeah.
What a time we are living in.
Yeah. You can watch
I watched the whole hockey game. That's why the trip was shorter. It was and plus it was the overtime win too. I mean, that was. Wasn't it an overtime win? It was, wasn't it?
Was.
Didn't they go to overtime? Yeah. It was a great game. That was fun, man.
Yeah.
And you could hear me back. I was laughing at the last minute.
You were
great.
Loving it.
Oh, my gosh. It was so fun.
I was proud of myself driving. I did the third stretch from, the outskirts of Cleveland home. So 2.5, 3 hours. 2.5, more like it.
Yeah, just north
Very
of
proud
Cleveland.
Of myself that I ate an entire Chipotle burrito without spillage. That's hard to do when you're driving, right? And those burritos are overstuffed. But I mean, that was the biggest accomplishment. That was the highlight of the drive home for me. Not spilling guac and all kinds of stuff.
It was good food. I know that. the highlight for me was the winning goal at the in the OT. That was a good trip for me.
It was
a good trip.
We had fun.
Productive too. We had some great guests down at the combine. I know we had we were at the Super Bowl. You know, back in February, And then you went to the Senior Bowl, and I was here. So it was kind of a different kind of show. But going down to the combine, we were only there for 3 weeks. I think, you know what, that was the right amount.
3 days.
That was the amount of – that was – yeah, 3 days. It was the right amount of time, I think. Don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't need to be there longer than that, right?
No, they're still there.
And Indianapolis was great. Indianapolis was great. It was always fun. It was fun to be down there. The town was great. Our hotel was in the right proximity to everything. We could walk everywhere. It was pretty cool.
Going to do a lot of combine wrap-up on today's show. Steve and I are going to talk about some of our observations. As Steve said, we had great guests, you know, the whole week long, really. And I spent a little bit of time yesterday writing a post, which is up right now on BuffaloBills.com, basically summarizing what many of our guests had to say about the Bills, about the Bills' draft strategy, about Josh Allen's rookie year, about a lot of things. And it's up right now on BuffaloBills.com. We'll hear some of those takes from people like Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, Daniel Jeremiah, Charles Davis, NFL Network, Matt Bowen from ESPN's NFL Matchup. This had a lot of interesting takes that, you know, we did the interviews, we heard them last week, but Steve and I want to kind of break down what people said, and we'll do that just about 30 minutes from now. But the post is up at BuffaloBills.com, what they're saying about the Buffalo Bills, essentially.
And over the weekend, we were there when the players got in there. They were doing their interviews, you know, where they sit down with these teams. They were doing the medical examinations, and they did bench press the last day or two we were there. And then over the weekend, they started running 40 times and getting out on the field, and you started to, you know, people could actually lay eyes on them and get a look at what they saw. You know, there's a lot of guys that made splashes. You know, this Montez Sweat, Quinnen Williams, DK Metcalf, all of those guys were out there, and you know, and then of course the whole first couple of days was all about Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
And his measurements and all of that. So it was.
He didn't run. He didn't throw. And right. I didn't miss him.
I can't get over that. These guys don't do that. They know this is coming. And if they don't do something, all it says to me is they're hiding something. Why would they not be ready? They had all kinds of time to get ready for it. All kinds of time.
Yeah.
Why can't they be ready? Why can't they do that? I know Kyler Murray has got. Oklahoma's pro day is March 13th.
Yep.
So it's a week from tomorrow. No, a week from Wednesday. And it's on, and you know, so they've got that pro day coming up. He's, you know, that's 2 weeks. He had 2 months.
Yeah, well, he put on a ton of weight.
Yeah, so maybe like 20 pounds.
Maybe that's a factor.
Was he going to take it off to throw?
No, but maybe he doesn't feel comfortable throwing at that weight yet. Maybe 2 weeks will make a difference. And I think for most of these guys, the calculation is, do I enhance or make my draft chances less? You know, do I look better or look worse if I throw today or run today?
There's so much wrong with that.
Why?
That mentality.
It's not about – there's not real – there's not nothing to be gained if you're going to put up a bad number. In fact, there's something to be lost. Why not wait till you're tip-top 100%? I get it. I understand.
Well, what are you going to do if that's my whole point. He had 2 months to get ready for this day, this weekend.
Because he put on the weight, I think, is what I interpreted it.
So you're going to tell me he's going to drop the weight and then be a better NFL player?
No, he's going to learn how to throw at that weight, maybe throw it better at that weight.
So why didn't he?
Because he's not ready. It's not a big deal. Who cares?
What if he's not ready September 10th?
Look, the guy's going to be a first-round pick. He's going to be the first quarterback chosen. He may be the first pick overall to the Arizona Cardinals, and he's got to weigh that against.
He's not my first pick.
Let me finish. He's got to weigh that against what he has to lose by not looking good in the workouts. I understand that.
He can't. He's got to prove he can carry that weight.
He's not my first pick either, but the Cardinals have the first pick, and they just might do it.
I hope they do it. They'll be the first pick next year, too.
The show today, a lot of combine.
Am I coming across bitter? I'm down on him.
No, just old man.
All right.
Old
man I can live with.
You do every day. The show today, a lot of combine. And the combine goes on. Defensive backs are running today and testing today. We're going to talk with John Ledyard at 1 o'clock from the Draft Network. They have a unique way of evaluating these combine prospects. We'll talk with John Ledyard about that. We'll talk about Steve's beef with Kyler Murray not throwing, about some of the amazing performances over the weekend, obviously, including DK Metcalf, who got a lot of Bills fans' attention with the way he ran on Saturday. And we're going to talk about that. It was pretty impressive, his time in the 40-yard dash and what he did. Obviously, we know how he tested out well. Metcalf, I think, a lot of, you know, and here's where we are. We're right in the combine portion of the pre-draft, and we have 7 weeks plus until the draft, Steve, which I think is good. Metcalf opened eyes of a lot of Bills fans with his workouts and his performance at the combine. But it got me thinking, I want to spend the next 7 weeks figuring out if this guy can play in the NFL. Yes, the combine results were great, but where was his production during his career at Ole Miss? Where was he? Was hurt a couple of years, I get that. He had another good wide receiver on his team, I get that. But the production is lacking. And you see those combine numbers, those workout numbers, and you think this guy should be the greatest thing ever, and the production wasn't there. That to me would be, I'm not saying it's a red flag, but it's like, let's look deeper into this and find out where he has been for his college
You can
career.
Say it's a red flag. He's for me, and I know he did all this physical stuff that he's – an unbelievable physical freak. But it sounds crazy to say it like this, but I think people know what I mean. He's not an athlete. He's fast and strong, but he's not an athlete. He's not a fluid. He's not a fluid, natural, supple athlete. He's a fast guy, and he's a strong guy.
He's a straight-line fast guy. But to say he's not an athlete, I disagree with that. I think he demonstrated his athleticism this week. What he is, what he is not, what we don't know, and he might be, is he an NFL receiver? We don't know that. I'm not ruling him. Believe me, you can't rule him out for the Bills or anybody else in the first round. But I do want to see more, and I want to know more about what went on down there at Ole Miss. Best comment about Metcalf that I heard, and I heard it right after he ran. Actually watched a lot of the Saturday combine stuff, even after the long drive home.
Right.
Daniel Jeremiah, who we talked to last Wednesday or Thursday, he said, you know, yeah, look, he's tearing up this combine, Metcalf. He's doing everything. He looks great at the combine. He said the time has come for DK Metcalf to move from the weight room to the
yoga mat.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
I know.
And he's right. Time for him to develop some flexibility, to develop some, as you called, suppleness. It's time for him to maybe lose that 12-pack abs and get to the point where he can run routes, catch passes, and be a productive NFL wide receiver. Get from the weight room, where he's excelled, obviously, in the last 6 to 8 weeks, and get to the yoga mat and kind of become an NFL receiver. I think that was a really good comment by Daniel Jeremiah.
It's true. It's true. You've seen, and believe me, I know this too, because I was one of the guys that didn't do all the stuff that DK Metcalf can do. But there are guys, I'm telling you right now, in every medium-sized city in America, there's a couple of hundred guys who are fast and strong and big. Almost none of them can play in the NFL because they lack so many other skill sets. DK Metcalf is excelling at the little measurable thing, not little, but these measurable things that the combine tests, you know, how fast you are and how strong you are. Certainly we saw him, he caught the ball okay on these running routes. That seemed okay. But there are certain things in these drills, some of these drills, he stunk at. That three-cone drill of his was like, oh, it was really bad. And that counts. And for some teams, it counts just as much as the 40 time. Because, you know, you get to this point where you're – and I'm telling you, when I say a couple of hundred guys in every medium-sized city in America is fast and strong like DK Metcalf, maybe not that fast and not that strong, but you get my point. There are a lot of great athletes out there. There are certain things that they cannot do that keep them out of the NFL, and those things may be just as prevalent in DK Metcalf as they are in Charlie Sixpack down the street, you know? I mean, there's things in there that kept him from being all-world – at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
There's something's Ole Miss, in there. Yeah. Ole Miss. At Ole Miss. Now, that's a huge egregious mistake for anybody from Ole Miss. I apologize. But, there's something in there that kept him from dominating at a lower level. And when, by all rights, if you're looking at his combine, we should know who this guy is before 2 weeks ago when they showed a picture of him.
Yeah.
You know?
You're right. Now, the good news is 7 weeks until the draft. So does it fit a Bills' need to draft a wide receiver, a potential number one wide receiver? Absolutely it does, but you got 7 weeks now to find out if he can play. We know he can run and jump and do a lot of good athletic things, but can he play football? It was an interesting combine, and it still goes on. The big men, we know the big men on defense are going to make their mark, and they did. Quinnen Williams of Alabama, defensive tackle with a huge weekend. My guy, Mississippi State's Montez Sweat, had a great Senior Bowl week, had a great weekend at the combine. We're going to talk about the combine, as I said, with John Ledyard from Draft Network at 1. At 2 o'clock today, I finished this book about a week ago, Michael Lombardi, his book, Gridiron Genius. Michael Lombardi spent considerable time in NFL front offices, football departments with the Patriots, with the 49ers, with the Browns, and he's written a book about those experiences, focusing on two guys that he considers geniuses, coaches. Bill Walsh, of course, Super Bowl winning Hall of Fame coach for the 49ers, and Bill Belichick, Same deal for the New England Patriots. Mike Lombardi's going to talk with us at 2. We'll talk to him a little bit about this, but a lot about his book. It's some really interesting ideas in his book that I finished last week. Really like the book. We're going to talk with Michael Lombardi at 2 o'clock today. We're going to talk with you and get you going. Anything else about the combine you want to mention? I'm trying to think about your combine, your first combine experience. It was, you know, the combine, I thought we had a good week, and I'm not just patting ourselves on the back, but as I went through and kind of transcribed some of the interviews we did, I thought, we got some interesting people on the show last week. You know, it wasn't just like hype, like, oh, Montez Sweat's going to do this or Quinnen Williams going to do that. It was guys who think about the Bills a little bit, including guys like Matt Bowen and Greg Cosell and Bucky Brooks, Daniel Jeremiah, Charles Davis. They understand the Bills, understand what the Bills are trying to build here. And with that base of knowledge, they kind of project how some of those draft picks, some of those prospects, might fit in with what the Buffalo Bills are looking to do. And I thought that was one of the good things that came about from our shows.
Yeah, we're going to hear from them here after the bottom of the hour. We'll remind people of where we were last week. When you go down there, and we got caught up in this too. We kind of get caught up in celebrity watching. You know, you got your Rich Eisens and all these guys that are media people, and we kind of get the analyst guys on the show, right? The guys who actually dig into it. Even our own Joe Biscaglia.
Yeah, Channel 7.
He can hold his own with any of those guys, right? So you start talking to him, and he's like, it's so funny. It's not my thing. You know, I told you, we were laughing because we're going to the combine. The combine is not my – I'll see these guys when I see them get drafted, you know. I'll see them in training camp. I'll get to know them in the preseason, and we'll get to watch them that way. But some of these guys are neck deep in it.
Yeah.
They love going, and I've got a list here of all the colleges and when their pro day is, and that's what I was kind of thumbing through here a minute ago. Mississippi for C.K. Williamson, March 29th is their pro day. So he's going to have it. He's going to be another month, and they'll be down there looking at his, watching him work out, catching running routes with a guy that throws to him, and there'll be other guys at his team as well. So all these guys are going to have one more chance in a different environment where it's just about them to go out and work out, and it'll be interesting to see how those days go, because sometimes you never hear, and then the only time you ever hear how these pro days go are if it's really, really good or it's really, really bad. And that's it's sometimes out of your control, out of their control, but it'll be fun to see how DK Metcalf, Quinnen Williams, Montez Sweat, and some other guys doing their pro day. And I certainly want to watch Kyler Murray throw.
Yeah, because you didn't see it. We heard that.
So
we're going to focus on the combine in today's show. You're welcome to join us with a couple of good guests and a lot of comments from you and an analysis of some of the comments we got on the show last week. Bills news, not much. Ryan Wendell has joined on as an offensive assistant, played with the Patriots for 7 seasons. One game with Carolina in 2016. He'll work alongside former Patriots assistant Brian Daboll, Buffalo's offensive coordinator. Ryan Wendell signing on as an offensive assistant. That confirmed by the Buffalo Bills today.
Yeah.
I think this is interesting over the weekend, too. And, you know, you always look to where the quarterbacks might fall. We know now where Nick Foles is going to fall. He's going to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. That trade will come up when the league year starts next week. Barring any last-minute snags, the Jaguars are expected to sign Nick Foles to a multi-year contract. Teams cannot talk with free agents until March 11th, next Monday. No deals can be announced until the start of the new league year on March 13th. The Jaguars are expected to release Blake Bortles and install Nick Foles as their starter. Good luck to them. Obviously, we know what Nick Foles has done, what he's meant to the Eagles team. Won a Super Bowl, obviously, but is he the franchise quarterback answer for the Jacksonville Jaguars? I'm not so sure about that. I don't know about that, Steve. I know he's good. I just don't know that he's got a lot of talent around him. I don't have much faith in the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I don't think this is a move that should instill much faith. I could be proven wrong on this. What do you think?
I think Nick Foles is the answer to the Jaguars' problems 2 years ago.
But maybe not now.
Yeah, they've changed. They're not the same team. They took a big step backwards last year. They're not the same team they were when they got to the championship game. Nick Foles is certainly going to help them offensively. Some of their guys are going to get better. But I think Jacksonville took a bigger step back last year than people anticipated them doing. They finally moved on from Blake Bortles, which it was about time. But I get it. I mean, you can't move on until you get somebody better. And that market was dried up for Jacksonville, given their success the year before all these 5 quarterbacks came out. So, yeah, Nick Foles was their answer 2 years ago. If they'd have had him
before the 2017 season, going into that season, Jacksonville might have got to a Super Bowl. But after last year, I don't think he might be too late.
Yeah,
he might be too late to save them.
That's what I think. I don't have much faith in the Jacksonville Jaguars. And this came up over the weekend, too, and we talked late last week about Antonio Brown, and it was Thursday. Chris Brown on our show talked about his media source, I guess, with the Steelers, saying, you know, Antonio Brown was really not a bad guy, and it was mostly about his relationship with Roethlisberger that brought everything to the front. And now, of course, he's requested a trade, and it sounds like the Steelers are trying to make that trade. We'll see if they get it done. But Antonio Brown did an interview over the aired on ESPN over the weekend. I believe it was Jeff Darlington of ESPN who did the interview with Antonio Brown. In the interview, he said some amazing things. And, you know, I didn't hear the interview, but I heard people talk about it during the weekend. And basically the consensus was he did it again. He damaged his draft stock again, right? What he said. Listen, we got the soundbite here. Antonio Brown talking to Jeff Darlington of the ESPN. As he is on the trade market, you would think he'd be either keeping his mouth closed or saying positive things. But instead he comes up with this.
I don't even have to play football if I don't want, bro. I don't even need the game. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to prove nothing to anyone. If they want to play, they're going to play by my rules. If not, I don't need to play.
You want the game now?
No, I don't. Obviously, I want the game, but I don't need the game. It's a different. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to play for no one. Like, I'm happy. You see this? This paid off cash. I owe no one. Mm-hmm. I'm a millionaire, bro. I'm an entrepreneur. Like, I don't have to prove no one anything. You know what I mean? Like, I never quit and miss a game ever. I checked my record. They know my background. But that's what the NFL is an organization. Organizations can create narratives and lower your value based on your position, but you can't lower my value. I'm Antonio Brown. I come from somewhere. I stand for something. I showed you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If someone don't believe that, perfect, don't call me. Like, it's okay. Like, I'm perfectly fine walking away fully healthy or whatever. So if you ain't got the demands to meet the demands, make it move. I'm not just a young player searching for something to make a difference. I already made a difference. Mm-hmm. The Steelers probably gave me 5 contracts, including extensions, almost $100 million and change. I'm $30 million up cash. Like, what do you want to tell me? It don't matter. I don't even have to play. My dad was great. If I retire right now, I think I'm great.
Well, all over the NFL, teams reaching for the phone. Get the Steelers on the phone. We got to trade for that guy, right?
That ain't happening.
Wrong. Unbelievable. You're trying to – look, he's got production. There's no question about that. He's got a track record of producing one of the best receivers in the game. Keep your mouth shut. You got a chance to move on somewhere else, but nobody would be jumping on Antonio Brown if they heard that. What team is going to say, yeah, that's a guy – that's the piece we need for our roster. Really?
I agree. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
It's and I don't know who represents him, but they're not doing their job. I don't know why he needed to do an hour long interview with ESPN.
Was it an hour?
I don't know. The only thing he has to up until now. Now you've got to he's got to convince me that he even wants to play.
Yeah, he doesn't need to play.
He doesn't need to play. So if you're going to turn up and start cashing checks, are you going to like turn it off because you don't really need it? You don't even need the game. And he says, well, I do want the game, but I don't need it.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the 100% buy-in you want from your guys, right?
It's crazy.
He's a great player, no question about it. But, man, oh, man, why would you pay that guy two mountains of money on the chance? I mean, yeah, it just seems like he's not the guy he was 4 years ago when he's trying to grind it out and sign a big contract, and then he took it out of gear, and now he's, you know, he was willing to put up with all that for 9 years, and then all of a sudden he signs the money. Now he's not willing to put up with it. What else is he not going to be willing to put up with? You know, is he, you know.
What's next?
What next is going to be against his wishes with your organization that you bring him into? I don't need it. We'll just do it without him.
Yeah.
It's too bad. I think he's really well liked by his teammates, but he's gone somewhere now emotionally and rhetorically in his interviews and his public stance about the Steelers and where he's at. I don't know. How do you recover from that? It only takes one team, I guess. Right?
He creates more questions than he answers every time he opens his mouth.
Murph, imagine where he'd be sitting now if he would have gone in, played that last game, gone quietly to Art Rooney and said to him, listen to me, Mr. Rooney, I am not going to play for you anymore. I am done. You can trade me or whatever, but I am not going to play another down for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's between you and me. You can trade me or whatever. I will not play, and make him believe it, and then walk out. Do what you don't have to do any of this, because now, if it comes out that the Steelers are trying to trade Antonio Brown, you got 15 teams lining up in a bidding war.
Yeah. Not now.
Not now. You might have a couple.
It's crazy. Unbelievable.
But I'm telling you, the whole league would have inquired. And maybe they have inquired, but not now. It's not serious. I mean, you've got teams that are taking him right off their board. It's how little self-awareness does a guy have to just do that to himself and to his public persona and to this brand that he has worked so hard to make and now has made a lot of money with it and it stands to make a lot more if he wants to. Why would he do that? Why would he just like burn it to the ground?
Insanity. Combine. That's our poll today. That's our topic today to get things going. We want your input on this. So the combine continues. Defensive backs running and jumping and testing today. But which weekend combine performance do you think should intrigue the Buffalo Bills the most? You know what the Bills are looking for. You know what the type of players they're interested in. You know the position groups that would seem to be their areas of need. What you saw over the weekend, if you're paying attention to the combine, which weekend performance should intrigue them the most? Give us a call. We'll discuss. We got phone lines open, 803-0550. From outside Buffalo, the toll-free call, 1-888-550-2550. Vote on our Twitter poll that's up right now at One Bills Live. Which weekend combine performance should intrigue the Bills the most? Well, it's a runaway. Two-thirds of you, 68%, say the wide receiver from Ole Miss, DK Metcalf, should intrigue the Bills the most. We'll talk more about that. 13% say Quinnen Williams, who the Alabama defensive tackle who ran a 4.83 in the 40-yard dash, said to be the fourth fastest by a 300-pound-plus defensive lineman at the combine since 2003. Daniel Jeremiah says Quinnen Williams could still wind up as the first overall pick in the draft. What about Montez Sweat, my guy from the – he's not exactly my guy, but talked about him from the Senior Bowl. Montez Sweat from Mississippi State, great workouts for him. The fastest 40 by a defensive lineman. He's 6'5 and almost 6'6, 260 pounds, a 4.41 40-yard dash for Montez Sweat. Is he the one that should intrigue the Bills the most? Or somebody else? Give us a call. We'll discuss. You can send in a tweet. We'll read it on the tweet sheet. Which weekend combine performance should intrigue the Bills the most? Look, I'm willing to go with Metcalf, Steve, only because, and I'm not saying he's the lock, you know, draft him right away, draft him today if you can. No. It should intrigue the Bills enough to know more. Like I said, right at the top of the show, where's the production? Why weren't you, you weren't healthy for a couple of years in college? I get that. But where was the production when you were healthy? I'd like to know more about that. Are you more than just a straight line flyer, as he obviously is? Are you more than just a physical specimen, as he obviously is? Are you an NFL caliber wide receiver? Here's the thing. I was thinking about this in a lot of the receivers we talk about. I heard somebody talk about the potential free agent wide receivers and some of the others. The Bills don't just need, well, they don't just need one receiver, Steve. They need a number one receiver. You know what I'm saying? Be nice to get a good slot guy. Be nice to get somebody else. They got plenty of, between Robert Foster and Zay Jones, they got plenty of candidates for number two, number three wide receiver. They need a top guy. Could Metcalf be that guy? Hey, it could be. I want to know more, though. Listen, and that's why he would intrigue me the most. That's how I would answer that.
I totally agree with you, Murph. He looks the part.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's more. Forgive me.
And you're right. I'm an old guy. Forgive me for sounding like an old guy. I've seen that before.
Yeah.
I've seen guys that look the part before, and they, it's the old joke that says they look like Tarzan, they play like Jane. You know, it's that kind of joke thing where they come out and they do all the stuff. They look great. They say all the right things. They do all the right things. And then when you get them on the football field, you can't find them. They absolutely disappear. They don't catch it. They don't run the right. They can't get off the press. They can't get open. They can't get separation. The quarterback looks for them, and they got a rookie free agent safety guarding them one-on-one, and he can't get open, let alone a top-flight corner in the NFL. I mean, all these things happen to these guys. I've seen it. And just because the guy looks great doesn't mean anything. I mean, you've got other guys in the league that don't look like that, or they're very productive. You got a guy like we've been talking about, Antonio Brown, comes out, he's a fifth-round draft pick from Toledo, and now he's an elite receiver because he worked hard. He did whatever it took. I'm not sold on any of these guys until I see it. And I've seen some things from Metcalf, no question. But man, oh man, something is up. And that's what we had this conversation last week at the Combine, Murph. Remember when I told you that all these guys are here and the clubs are there not to see who they should draft? The NFL clubs are sitting there saying, who should we not touch?
Yeah,
who do we not want a piece of? Who do we not want? That's what it is for the clubs. They're out there looking for disclaimers, right? So this Metcalf, he's got to answer that. Where's he been?
What do you think? Who intrigued you the most for the Buffalo Bills by this Combine weekend? Give us a call. Line's open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Which weekend Combine performance should intrigue the Bills the most? We'll take your calls. We'll read from the tweet sheet when we come back. Just getting started here. Back in Orchard Park, One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker on a blustery day in Orchard Park. I think it's about 17 degrees. It was cold this morning, Steve. It wasn't that cold in Indy. Usually, it always feels colder to me in Indianapolis. I don't know why. I think it's because there's nothing out there but wheat and corn.
It's a little cold. I left my jacket in the truck, and it was parked all week. I had to go around just with whatever quarter zip or whatever I had on. I was kind of suffering in Indy, by the way. It's a really hard trip.
No,
it was not. I'm teasing.
It was not. It was a great trip.
It was a good trip.
We're talking about a variety of topics today, including our Twitter poll, which weekend Combine performance should intrigue the Bills the most. We've got a caller on the line who wants to talk about Antonio Brown, Carl in Clarence. Hello, Carl. Go ahead. You're on the air. Carl, Clarence? I think we're right back where we were a week ago.
Some things. Nice to know.
All right, there you are. Hi, Carl. Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now,
Carl.
Okay. Yeah, I was just saying that if the Bills were entertaining any thoughts of Antonio Brown after that soundbite, that's the end of that. Dean and McDermott, that's exactly the kind of guy they don't want on their club.
Carl, do you think there's any chance that Antonio Brown is putting this on for – just for public relations, however idiotic you think it might be, do you think this is kind of not who he is? He's kind of making a stand so to make sure the Pittsburgh Steelers do have to let him go. He doesn't want to play for them. Do you think he's posturing so the Steelers are forced to make a move and that he's not really that kind of guy? Is there a possibility of that?
Yeah, sure, there's a possibility of that, but I also believe that he does know, in fact, he's got $30 million in the bank and he doesn't need to play this game anymore. You can just start investing. Like you said, he's an entrepreneur. So maybe he could just walk away from the game. But that's the last thing you want to be saying to clubs is a soundbite like that.
I agree with you, Carl. And here's the thing, too. And try and stay with me for those of you who are into this kind of thing. I don't know if I'm up to it. If they're going to try and trade Antonio Brown, he's due a roster bonus at the end of the league year, a $2.5 million bonus. Now, if you're trying to trade him and you're one of those teams, say it's the Buffalo Bills, and they're going to trade for Antonio Brown, if they do that before that deadline, the Bills are on the hook for that $2.5 million bonus, roster bonus. Now, if you wait until after that point, the Steelers pay for the $2.5 million roster bonus, and then you can trade for him. But here's the thing. If you're the Steelers and you say, listen, if you trade him before the roster bonus – and you pay the roster bonus, we know he's not worth as much to you. You got to pay him $2.5 million without ever having him do anything. So he might be worth, say for instance, he's worth a sixth round pick if you pay $2.5 million to the Steelers for their roster bonus. But if you wait till after that, now the Steelers have paid for it. Now they can hang on to him. Now you might have to give a third-round pick for Antonio Brown. You see what I'm saying? So if for the Steelers, do they want to pay the $2.5 million and trade him to somebody now, or do they want to pay the $2.5 million hoping he'll be more valuable and they can get a higher draft pick for him after they are on the hook for $2.5 million more of his contract? See what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I don't think $2.5 million
I don't think I made much sense when I just said that. Did you follow?
I followed. I don't know if $2.5 million is a deal breaker either way, number one. Number two, before that interview, and I don't think that interview is the end all, but before that interview, there were reports that the Steelers were legitimately going to ask for a first-round pick for Antonio Brown. So third round, sixth round, who cares? First round, third round, that's a difference that may play into what you're describing here as far as the money.
Right. The numbers are irrelevant. Say it's before this $2.5 million, it might be a seventh round, and it might be a go to a first round, that kind of thing. But
he's
the
not
point
going
is,
anywhere for a seventh round.
Right, but the point is, he's more valuable after the Steelers have given him that roster bonus.
Slightly.
Then right. How much is that? How much is that value? What is $2.5 million on the cap? It's like it's nothing.
Right.
It's a spit in a coffee cup, but that's still there, right? And you still got to sell that to an ownership group, and you're not going to get anything for that $2.5 million if you do it before that threshold. So I think after that, yeah, the Steelers are going, the price is going to go up, no question about it.
Yeah.
So it's what's that $2.5 million worth? Out in the open market, is in draft picks. You know, that's the real
question. It's not worth the difference between a third rounder and a first rounder, I don't think.
What about a second and a one? A two and a one?
I don't think so.
Right, two,
two and
right?
a half doesn't equal.
No, because that's not even part, that's not even a big percentage of the rookie contract right. You'd be getting for those picks.
Right. Hey, we're kind of reliving our week at the Combine today as we get going this week here at One Bills Live, and many good guests last week, including Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network draft analyst. He's a color analyst on the Los Angeles Chargers radio network. And we talked with Daniel Jeremiah the other day. He had some interesting things to say about the Bills, and in particular, I asked him to kind of revisit his thoughts on Josh Allen, what he thought a year ago at this time on Josh Allen at the Combine, and what he thought he saw from Josh Allen in his rookie year. Here's what Daniel Jeremiah had to say.
We talked a lot about his unique athleticism. We had even made the comparison. There's a lot of similarities to Cam Newton with how he plays, with his size and his ability to create with his legs. Now I think they've got a chance to see him there in Buffalo. I think that organization and Bean is going to be able to go out there and surround the talent he needs that fits what he does well. In my opinion, that's getting a track team. You know, get some speed out there because you can run the ball, and then with his arm, big chunks. You know, you don't need to have 12, 14 play drives with Josh Allen. You can eat the sandwich at one bite.
And as far as guys who can provide those big chunks, who are some of the likely candidates here that you think the Bills will be interested in?
Well, there's a couple guys there in the first round if they wanted to go there. DK Metcalf from Ole Miss, who's just a hulking presence who can still fly. Marquise Brown, I know he's got the Liz Frank foot injury, but it sounds like he should be okay. Wide receiver out of Oklahoma for the start of the season, for the start of training camp. Those would be the two first-round guys. And then beyond that, I mean, Paris Campbell from Ohio State, probably in that second-round range.
Any offensive line targets you can envision for the Bills maybe early in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, a couple guys intriguing to me. I have Andre Dillard as the top tackle in the draft out of Washington State. When I look at maybe some versatility that would be interesting to Buffalo, you look at the kid down at Florida, Juwan Taylor, who I think plays right tackle. I think he could play guard if he needed him to. Cody Ford, same thing, right tackle or a guard. With that type of flexibility, it allows you to get your best five guys on the field. You have an injury, they could easily move inside or outside, and that Bills group up front has got to get better.
Daniel, the Bills sit there with the ninth pick in the first round, which seems to me like a pretty good place to be if they want to wheel and deal and maybe get some more picks.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting where they're located. I would say 2 weeks ago, you'd be in a spot where people might be coming up for one of the quarterbacks. And as every year, those quarterbacks just keep going up higher and higher and higher. They might be gone. Those two top quarterbacks might be gone at that point in time. So I don't know if they're going to have those options. I do like how their needs, you know, talking about the offensive line receiver specifically, marry up with where they're selecting. I think they're going to have a good option.
Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network, he kind of broke my heart a little bit because what he told us there, that last answer is, a couple of weeks ago, you're in a great spot at nine because teams are going to come up and get their quarterback. But things have changed now with Kyler Murray's measurements with a couple of other things, and maybe that ninth spot is not quite as valuable. That was, I'm not going to say it was an eye-opener, but it got my attention when Jeremiah said that to us last week.
We're going to have a Twitter poll about what people want us to take first. If you get it.
Have we done that already?
Yeah, I know. We take them all the time, but I'm leaning towards O-line.
Yeah.
I if we're at nine and we can get a chance to get, you know, like Jonah Williams from – Alabama or one of the other great left tackles. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking you take old linemen at there.
I like the way two things. Jeremiah said that what the Bills needs kind of match up with some good players there at number nine. They're going to they're marrying up with what they're selecting. And again, he's another one. And look, we talked to Daniel, I think it was last Thursday before any of the on-field tests began. And so his stuff about DK Metcalf and some of these others, he mentioned the receiver from Ohio State, Paris Campbell, who ran great in his on-field stuff. But the offensive lineman, he talked about Juwan Taylor of Florida, who has been linked to Buffalo a couple of times and tested out fine this week. I give Daniel Jeremiah a lot of credit because he was on to the to the guys who tested out well, as it turned out, this week, including Juwan Taylor from Florida. The other thing I liked, and I don't know if the Bills can fulfill this, but he said, in my opinion, you got to surround Josh Allen with the talent he needs, get him a track team. What do you think of that? Hyperbole?
A little bit. A little bit, yeah. We had Isaiah McKenzie. We had, you know, Robert Foster. Those guys are fast.
Yeah.
You got to have somebody that gives him an option if he has to get rid of it. Now, I just think all those guys that even the guys that are on the roster and the guys that are going to get in whatever rounds or whatever, you got to fix what's up front of him. You got to fix what's up. I think Spencer Long is a really good signing for the Bills. He's a quality O lineman who really got blamed for getting hurt, you know, trying to play through an injury last year with New York. I thought he was a really good player for the Jets, and he had a bad, bad game when he had a broken finger trying to snap the ball. So, as is the case sometimes in New York, guy has a bad game or an egregious game or does something bad on the field, and they get done with him really quickly. They don't get a second chance. You know, whether the guy's been a great player or not, when he does something embarrassing, they kick him to the curb fast. I think that's what happened to Spencer Long. He's a pretty good player. So they've started to rebuild it up front, but they've got to do it. They got to do it in this draft. I am a big proponent of a big, dominant offensive line. I love all these guys, these wide receivers. I played the position, running backs, tight ends, all these fun, those are bells and whistles. You need an engine, and that's your offensive line. And I think that's where the Bills should start, and they should take more than one, maybe more than two in this draft, with 10, if the 10 picks are there.
Whose combine performance should intrigue the Bills the most? Who intrigues you the most? We'll get back to that when we come back. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here on this Monday afternoon. Back home, reestablishing control of our place. This is our place. This is our house. The One Buffalo studio right next door to the stadium. Thanks for tuning into the show. Which weekend combine performance should intrigue the Bills the most? That's our topic of the day. And Steve, we got some responses, I think interesting responses on Twitter. Yeah. What do you got on the tweet
from
sheet?
Brian Cook. He says, I'd say Metcalf, but not for the reason some might think. Sure, he showed speed and power, but he bombed the agility drills like the cone drill. Didn't slow man Tom Brady have a better time in the cones? That raises huge red flags at the wide receiver position. Buyer beware. Also from Ronnie Eastham, Metcalf has an injury history as well, does not have the production to back up the ridiculous combine numbers. If Quinnen Williams is there at 9, you got to take him. He's about as close to a surefire stud as you'll get in this draft. That's the defensive tackle. This jives with the team's best player available philosophy, I guess.
Yeah, I like those two thoughts. A call here about Metcalf, and it comes from Sean in Niagara Falls. Hello, Sean, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
How you guys doing today?
Glad doing good.
Thank you.
Defending your dirt in the studio.
Yes, we are defending our dirt. That's right. Steve marked off some dirt right over there a few minutes ago.
That's right. I'm all in agreeing with everybody else. Metcalf has injury history. He had a neck injury. Hasn't done really a lot in college. I'm agreeing with the whole pliability thing, a la, you know, Tom Brady being flexible. I'm a trade down, team trade down kind of guy, but if we had to go get somebody, I would agree with Williams or Jawan Taylor, but I like Bradbury from NC State this weekend. I liked Ford, both of which are interchangeable parts that can move from tackle inside to guard. Bradbury, they said, can move from center out to guard. And my absolute love this weekend, Devon White from LSU absolutely lit it up. And a nice sleeper second or third round. I love the two Oregon kids. Dylan Mitchell, wide receiver, maybe second or third round. And Justin Hollins, linebacker, very fluid, very open, very easy with his hips. I'll hang up and listen. You guys have a great day.
Thank you. Before you move, though, Sean, Garrett Bradbury you're talking about, North Carolina State center. Is he a first rounder? Is he a legitimate first round talent?
As I stated, I'm also team trade down.
Don't move down. Okay.
Yeah, I got you.
Multiple picks. I think he would be a great fit.
Okay.
Yeah, Carl, you're right, Sean. I here's the thing. You got Murph was just talking about this outside. Seven of the Bills draft picks this year are in day 3. I mean, they go from 9 to number 40. and then to 74, and then they're in the hundreds, 112, 131, 147, 158. They got four fourth and fifth round picks, two in the fourth, two in the fifth. They got one in the sixth, and then two in the seventh. And the seven of the 10 picks they have are the fourth round or later. You got to maximize those. And if it takes you to trading down out of number nine to get maybe two picks inside the top 50 or inside three picks inside the top 40, I think you kind of need to do it. I'd trade a couple of the – I'd trade a fourth rounder and a fifth rounder to try and jump up higher into the top 50 for one more pick. You know what I mean?
Top 100 even.
Right, even the top 100. So I'm all about that, Sean. I think
that's a trade up. Sean was talking about
trade down. Yeah, that's why you have that's why you have 10 picks. So you can move around. You can come out of here with seven, and if you can get seven inside the top 100, well, that's a lot better than 10 inside the top 250.
Yeah.
It's a different animal. So you have a better chance of getting five players out of the top 100 out of seven picks than you do have getting five players out of the top 250. You might not get five players out of the 10 picks.
More draft talk, more combine talk coming up. We're going to talk with John Ledger. He is COO at the Draft Network, senior draft analyst. He'll be joining us when we come back. Come on back for that. One Bills Live, presented by Collada Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.